Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Tom Arms, and this is Viewpoints Around the World and Look Ahead Radio. In a moment, I'll be joined by my old friend Lockwood Phillips. Usually, this time every week, we talk about world politics, but not this week. It's Christmas. We're talking about how the great event, how Christmas is celebrated in different parts of the world. I hope you enjoy listening. Thanks very much.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints on the talk station, FM 107 AM 1240. Normally you hear this voice in the second hour on Wednesdays, but tonight you're hearing it a little earlier and you're hearing it live. We have Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us from sunny London. Warm, sunny London, I would assume. Tom?
Ah, you must be a Trump supporter. You try and fit the world to suit the way you want to see it. It is cold, wet, and miserable London.
I love that. Okay. So the president is responsible for the weather in London, too, I gather. Okay, that's interesting.
No. Let's get this straight. He is not responsible for the weather in London. Not in my family.
Oh, okay.
Everything wrong in London and everywhere else is my fault.
Okay. Oh, good. Merry Christmas to you, Tom.
Merry Christmas to you, Lockwood. Ho, ho, ho.
All right. Before we get into the Christmas around the world, we're going to run through a long list, if we can, very quickly. What's the mood in Europe right now and there in the United Kingdom? Have we lifted the cares of the world for a few days? Do we anticipate that for the Christmas holidays?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay. It's a little different here in the States because, well, we've got the internet and it's constant crisis moment after moment. The first question is, what's it like in the Arms household during Christmas?
Well, this year we've got all the children home, which is nice. My daughter's back from New York. One son is back from Prague. Another one is back from university in Brighton. And so we're all here and nobody's fighting with one another. We're all having a great time. We have various things which we do. We go to Brown's Hotel, which is a very nice country house hotel in the center of London, every year for tea. And I leave substantially poorer. We have a big cream tea. Midnight Mass, we go to the Tower of London.
Whoa, that's interesting. Who's providing the service at the Tower of London?
There is a chapel in the Tower of London, and it was the chapel that was used by the people who were about to have their heads cut off. If I recall correctly, I walked across the gravestone of Anne Boleyn on my way to take communion. And I do every midnight on Christmas Eve. The various other, like Lady Jane Grey and so forth, are all buried in the nave of St. Peter's Chapel.
Now, real quickly, how well attended is this? I mean, is this a large...
It's packed. It's packed.
Oh, wait, help me out with when you say packed, are we talking 1,000 people?
No, it's a small chapel.
Okay.
There's probably 250.
Okay, all right.
200. It's not well known, but Tower of London is actually a military garrison.
Huh.
And so, people from the military garrison will attend.
Very interesting. All right. And then before we wrap it up, before the next break, you mentioned the tea. A lot of people are not aware of what takes place at a tea. It's a little bit more than just tea. There's food as well, right?
Oh, there is food. Oh, I'm still trying to recover. Sandwiches, egg sandwiches, cress sandwiches, cucumber sandwiches, salmon sandwiches, and so forth. And then that's followed by cakes, chocolate cakes, vanilla cakes, strawberry cakes. You know, they just keep coming and they keep coming. And then they bring on the cream tea, which is clotted cream, scones, and jam.
You know,
if I drop dead in the middle of this program, you know the reason why.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a quick break. We hope you won't, because we've got more to talk about. We've got to go about, we're going to check on Boxing Day and different Santas. We've got, we'll talk about nativity scenes, Christmas trees. Oh, do they have aluminum Christmas trees in the Scandinavian countries, I'm wondering. Little tongue-in-cheek on that one. And then we'll find out what's happening in France, Scandinavia, I mentioned that a moment ago, Germany as well. Stay with us. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio with us this evening, a special program on Christmas. Stay with us.
This is Tom Arms with LookAheadNews.com's expanded world analysis for the week beginning on Christmas Day 2017. Look Ahead broadcasts tomorrow's news today so that you can plan to participate. World leaders are abandoning their desks and heading to sun, snow, and firesides for Christmas. Donald Trump is in his favorite sun-soaked resort, Mar-a-Lago. Golf, turkey, and the occasional treat are expected to be the order of the day. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is off cross-country skiing in Switzerland, but she will return to her desk in time to broadcast the Chancellor's annual New Year's Eve address on Sunday. This year, she'll have to focus on her continuing failure to form a coalition and problems on both the eastern and western ends of the EU. British Prime Minister Theresa May is heading back to her Maidenhead constituency for Christmas, where she is planning a quiet day revolving around the church, friends, and fireside. Russian President Vladimir Putin is working next week, as his Christmas does not arrive until the 7th of January. Putin is expected to be in Iran for discussions on Syria. Also present will be Iranian President Hassan Rouhani and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, both Muslims. Pope Francis, of course, will be extremely busy giving his Urbi et Orbi, or State of the World address, at the Vatican on Christmas Day. Expect Rohingya and Jerusalem to be mentioned. Queen Elizabeth II will address Britain and the Commonwealth in her annual Christmas Day broadcast. Look for mentions of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. In Turkey, the day after Christmas marks the resumption of a controversial sedition trial involving journalists and human rights activists. All three are charged with, quote, conducting propaganda on behalf of a terrorist organization. Liberia will host a postponed runoff vote in their presidential elections. The choice is between former footballer George Weah and incumbent president Boka Akya. The original vote was expected to result in the first peaceful handover of power from one democratically elected leader to another in 73 years. Now tensions are high. Tensions are also high in Saudi Arabia, and King Salman will attempt to ease them in his annual New Year's address on Sunday. The king will make reference to problems with Iran, Qatar, and Yemen. He will also have to square the circle of a close relationship with Washington after Trump announced that he was moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. The Italian Prime Minister, Paolo Gentiloni, will also be making a New Year broadcast. His will be on Friday. Gentiloni will have to address the continuing slow growth of the Italian economy. And that was next week's news today, so that you can plan to participate in the world around you. Stay tuned for Viewpoints Around the World with myself and Lockwood Phillips.
As we heard just a few moments ago from our foreign editor, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, we were talking about food. He was talking about Christmas and a Christmas tea. I do want to remind you, since you're thinking about food, go beyond Christmas and think about possibly an event at Floyd's 1921 restaurant for New Year's. And we'll have to do a similar story with and camp interview with Tom about how New Year's is celebrated worldwide. He's hearing that idea for the first time as I begin this last half of the hour with Viewpoints. But just to remind you about Floyd's 1921 restaurant, their New Year's Eve patio party with hors d'oeuvres, champagne toast, and midnight, and music from Forever All. $15 cover charge. Everything begins at 9 p.m. New Year's Eve. And if you want to reserve a spot, call now, 727-1921. That's 727-1921. He also wants to make you aware that they have gift certificates available for those special events and friends that you'd like to give. That's gift certificates at Floyd's 1921 restaurant, located at 4th and Bridges Street in beautiful uptown Morehead City. And, of course, outstanding meals for dinner And always remember, you have to have reservations to enjoy a meal at Floyd's 1921 restaurant, 4th and Bridges Street in beautiful Uptown Moorhead City, and that number, 727-1921. All right, Tom, let's talk about what it's like Christmas around the world. And, you know, I just asked a question, or made a joke, actually, about aluminum Christmas trees. And my question is, what about Christmas trees? You know, we see this as predominantly a U.S. event. How is Christmas celebrated in other countries? Do they use Christmas trees? And I would assume they do in Scandinavia.
Oh, yes. By the way, I've got a question for you. Who do you think was the first person to bring a Christmas tree indoors?
Santa Claus. Back in the old days, Santa was the one who delivered the Christmas tree.
No. Who? No, no. Martin Luther.
Really? Oh.
Really?
A fallen Catholic at that. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, Christmas trees were trees, shall we say, evergreen trees, mm-hmm. Have been used for decorations since before Roman times.
Okay.
And they've been seen as a sign of hope for the spring to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the deep, dark depths of the bleakest winter, you can still see the evergreen of the evergreen trees. But the first public display was in Latvia and Lithuania in the 15th century, 15th and 16th centuries. And it wasn't until Martin Luther, he decided to bring his tree indoor.
Interesting. All right. So, yep. So Christmas is an activity conducted around the world. How much of Christmas, still maintains, if you will, its religious connection? That, of course, being
depends.
The birth of Christ.
It depends on where you are. There are parts of the world where really most of the presents are not given at Christmas.
Right.
In the case of the Netherlands, they're given out by Sinterklaas and Svart Pieter, Black Peter, mm-hmm. on December the 5th.
Hmm.
And in many countries, they're given on Epiphany because it symbolizes... And I'm talking about southern Mexico, I'm talking about Spain, I'm talking about Italy. A lot of the southern European countries, they exchange presents on Epiphany because that's when the three kings arrived, right, and gave their presents to the baby Jesus. The children write letters to the kings, or they write letters to the baby Jesus. Personally, I think it'd be better to write a letter to the king. I think they've got more money.
They do, no question. And they're the ones with the gifts, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, is there a lot of communications, you know, publicity about the issue, the religious aspect of the season, or is that something that's relegated to, if you will, the churches and families? Is it how
it's relegated to churches and families?
Okay.
Again, you know, I'd say in Southern Europe, you know, because they don't have the big Christmas gift giving that we have here in the UK and the US. On Christmas Day, it means that Christmas Day is much more of a religious ceremony.
And also, I guess, families are pretty important at that time of year. A lot of family
gatherings. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Families are very, very important. But it's a family religious affair, almost equivalent to Thanksgiving, except with a more of a religious overtone.
Okay. Well, let's look at, and by the way, we chatted about a few moments ago what it was like in the Arms household. United Kingdom, anything much in the UK about Christmas that's out of the ordinary?
Well, one thing is, you know, the British like to refer to themselves, not like to refer to themselves, often referred to as anal retentive. You know, they're very shy and things like that. But
right.
At Christmas Day, they break open something called Christmas crackers. And every Christmas cracker has a little paper crown, and they have silly jokes, and you all have to do silly things around the table and wear silly hats. And it's just like the mask slips for the day, and the British become silly.
Oh. All right. Let's talk about some of the experiences. Let's talk about the Falklands, for example. And that, of course, is renowned because at one point, or maybe it still is, part of the United Kingdom in many regards. But what about the
Falklands? It's an overseas territory.
Okay, yes. Still. All right. In spite of your fight with Argentina.
The Falklands is noted. First of all, I don't have any turkeys. It's too expensive to get there. So they have to have lamb, which they have more sheep on the Falklands than they have people.
Right.
But... The children who who live out in what are called the camps, which are the remote farms, which keep the Falklands going, and give them a reason for even existence, they have their presents delivered by elves who fly helicopters.
Oh, I like that. The elven community would appreciate that, I'm confident. All right, that's the Falklands. Let's talk about other places around the world. Let's go to Mexico, for example.
Now, Mexico I find really interesting because it's southern and northern Mexico. Now, you were asking about, you know, gifts and religion and everything else. In northern Mexico, where, of course, they get American television very easily, it's Christmas Day they really celebrate. That's when they exchange gifts and the stockings are hung out and everything else. In southern Mexico, where they don't get American television, it's Epiphany.
Interesting. Which is some 12 days
later.
Go ahead. I apologize.
They also have the custom of the nine posadas, which means the nine inns. And what happens is that children go around, usually dressed as shepherds, knocking on doors. Sometimes they bring a Mary and a doll as a baby Jesus. And they say, is there any room in the inn? And they knock on the neighbor's door. The neighbor says, no, there's no room in the inn. Move on, go away. Until finally they get to some prearranged neighbor who says, yes, come in. And there's a big party and they break piñatas open and things like that.
Interesting. All right. Let's stick with Christmas around the world here for another moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Let's talk about, I mentioned the Falklands. Let's talk about Scandinavia. Then we'll work our way south from there. What is Christmas like there?
Again, it's very religious. They have something called St. Lucia's Day, which falls just around Christmas. And in some respects, this has become the Scandinavian Christmas. And St. Lucia was a lady, a Scandinavian girl, who used to deliver food to Christian martyrs holed up in caves in Scandinavia. And in order to keep her hands free, she would put the candle on top of her head. And so they have St. Lucia's Day where young girls, because of Scandinavian, they're all blonde, they have a candle placed on top of their head and they walk through the town, process and sing.
Interesting. I've seen
it's really quite beautiful. Midnight procession.
As a matter of fact, I think I've seen pictures of that. Now, very quickly, before we go to the break, in Scandinavia, trees, I assume, are still decorated?
Oh, yes, trees. The trees became, the custom of the trees spread throughout what's called the Hanseatic League, which is sort of in the 15th and 16th century and 17th century was a sort of trading political league. And they spread the custom of Christmas trees. And it eventually made its way to Britain in 1830 with Prince Albert. And then in 1850, it crossed the Atlantic to a country called
Let me see.
The United States.
One of the colonies, as you once called it. Stay with us. We're talking with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Special program this evening. He's joining us live from London, where we're talking about Christmas. Stay with us.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms. Letter to Santa. Dear Santa, to start with, I would like a new pair of cufflinks. Nothing too flashy. Kindle. A good thriller read. And the time to read it. Then there are a few other items which I don't usually place on my Christmas list. For a start, do you think you could work on some magic dust? I know you know how to make it. It's magic dust that makes your reindeer fly. So could you just make some dust to scatter round while flying through the night sky, which would restore a veneer of civilization to the world? Something that would remove the perpetual scowls and angry looks and the body language of presidents and lots of other people. Something that makes them at least look as if they're searching for a solution rather than a fight. By the way, do you ever take back presents? You know, if the boy or girl has misused or doesn't play with them properly. Issa, would you please collect all the megaphones that you handed out to politicians a couple of Christmases ago? Oh, and while you're at it, could you remove the cotton from their ears? At the moment, opposing politicians spend too much time shouting at each other through giant bullhorns, while the cotton wool, plus their uncivilized behavior, prevents them from listening and discussing. Wait a minute, do you, by any chance, own a giant pin? If so, I would be really grateful if you would add that to the list. I'd love to travel around the world bursting the filtered information bubbles into which so many have retreated. Perhaps I can hang on to the runners of your sleigh and gleefully pop, pop, pop away as you fly through the night on Christmas Eve. The internet, you see, it's a wonderful thing. It has grown to such an extent that I am able to do my job better and better. And I love my job. But too many use it to reinforce their hates and prejudices, rather than looking for information that leads to consensual solutions. You're in the business of spreading goodwill and cheer. Maybe you can do something about it. There are more related items on my list. I want the millions, no, perhaps billions of people who've been blinded by populism, post-truth, and alternative facts to have their sight and reason restored. I want people to see a world based on the careful study of all the elements that make it up and make decisions based on that study. I do not want to see a world where decisions are based on what people want to believe and choose the facts that support those beliefs and airily dismiss the ones that don't and then throw in a dose of hate and prejudice. Do you think you could do something so that the conduct of world affairs was based more on mutual back-scratching than back-stabbing? Finally, do you think you can do something to persuade people to accept that we all share the same planet and all have a mutual interest in its survival and prosperity? I know you're not a North Pole first kind of guy. When you're flying high in the night sky, national borders are invisible and walls shrink almost into insignificance. Unfortunately, only astronauts and high-flying pilots have been able to share your unique perspective, and they remain in an extreme minority. Well, Santa, that is my list. I know you have competing requests. Donald Trump wants building blocks for his wall. Vladimir Putin wants a new supercomputer for his cyber warfare campaign. Theresa May wants Brexit to go away and leave her alone. President Xi Jinping wants everyone to shut up and do what he thinks is best. A tired and frustrated Angela Merkel is probably asking if you can organize her retirement party. So, I'll tell you what. You don't have to actually deliver my list. Just think about it. That would at least be an improvement. Best wishes for a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Mrs. Claus, the elves, and all the reindeer. Best regards, Tom Arms. Oh, wait a minute. P.S. I have been a good boy, so please don't forget the cufflinks.
Christmas Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And just to remind you, you can become a subscriber to LookAheadNews.com. Log on to that website. Become a subscriber. It's very, 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 very convenient and, quite frankly, very inexpensive. Tom, thank you for staying with us. Looking forward to other issues. I do have to bring up a topic, one, very quickly. With Christmas events taking place around the world, one place I do want to ask you about is Christmas in Cuba. And you've recently visited Cuba. So what is Christmas like in Cuba?
I was there a couple of years ago. That's very interesting. Cuba, Christmas was banned.
Really?
For a number of years. Yeah, it was banned. I think it was until 1996 it was banned. And then Pope John Paul II said, I want to come. And so they said, and Fidel said, okay, we'll have Christmas this year. You know, we'll lift it so the Pope can come for 1 year. But it stuck, and they have it every year now. Wow. It's much more religious in Cuba and very touching, very touching. We were in a lovely Spanish colonial town called Trinidad, and every night a group of children walk around with a doll dressed as a baby Jesus, and they just walk through the streets, and they'd collect money. And they would stop every now and they'd sing a carol, and there'd be other people behind them singing carols. And it was very, very nice. And we followed them to the church on midnight mass. And we all sat down and we sang carols, and there was a very nice sermon. It didn't follow the normal midnight mass. It didn't seem to. At the end of which they handed out sweetbreads, very, very sweetbreads, and hot chocolate.
You know,
everyone hugged each other.
You mentioned the Christmas carols. Of course, we think here in the States of the Christmas carols of obviously Holy Night, O Holy Night, O Town.
Yeah,
Town
they
of
sang
Bethlehem.
Silent Night
Silent
a lot. Night.
Yeah, okay. Silent Night, I'm sorry, and Little Town of Bethlehem. We think of those as the carols. Were they pretty much the same, if you will, the westernized carols that we sing?
Yes, but in Spanish.
Okay, well, surprising surprise. All right, let's talk about other countries. How about in France, which is predominantly a secular country now?
It's a secular country, but everyone is Catholic, or almost everyone is Catholic. France, Spain, and Italy have traditions of nativity scenes more than Christmas trees, although mm-hmm. they do have Christmas trees. But they're really big on the nativity scenes. Italy in particular is the country where it started. It was a custom started by St. Francis of Assisi in 1223. And in Naples, they have streets where they just, all they do is make nativity scenes. But the thing I like most is in Spain. In Spain, what they do is they have all sorts of different characters. They don't just have the kings and the shepherds. They have a butcher, a candlestick maker, etc. And they also have, right at the back of the scene, some big celebrity who's been chosen that year. And what he's called the poop celebrity.
Okay.
And there's a hint. There's a hint there. Because what he does is, he sits at the back on a toilet with his trousers around his ankle.
You got it.
And he's putting the nativity scene.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
It's a great honor to be chosen.
Right. All right. You're listening to Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're talking about Christmas around the world. Let's talk about Christmas in Germany. And, of course, many of our Christmas musical pieces come from Germany, interestingly enough.
Yes. Certainly Tannenbaum, Silent Night.
Silent Night.
A lot of those, and of course it's where Christmas trees really came from in the modern age.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me, Lockwood.
That's okay.
In Germany, in common with a lot of European countries, the Christmas presents are not delivered on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are delivered on St. Nicholas Day.
Which is when?
Which is the 5th of December, so they've already been deposited.
Okay, well, and
they put them not in stockings, they put them in their shoes.
Oh, interesting. Now, you say the 5th of January.
St. Netherlands.
Oh, you say the 5th of January, which is very close to Epiphany because Epiphany.
No, 5th of December.
Oh, 5th of December. I'm sorry, I was thinking yep. January. Okay. 5th of December. Very yep. interesting. Now, you say they're delivered in, they're not put in shoes, stockings, they're put in shoes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And it's the same in Netherlands, Luxembourg, Belgium. They're put in shoes and delivered on the 5th. In Netherlands, Santa arrives. He's called Sinterklaas. He arrives on a ship in the harbor. In a Dutch port, it's a different port every year, on the 11th of November.
Really?
And he arrives with Swart Peter from Spain. He's supposed to live in Spain, not the North Pole. And he wanders around the country and finally makes his deliveries on St. Nicholas Day. And then he gets back on his ship and sails away.
We're talking with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're running out of time. We have many other items to talk about, and we're going to have to see if we can expand this at a later point. Let's talk about the issue of Boxing Day And also an item here, different Santas?
Oh, well, yes. There's lots of different Santas. Hmm. There is, let's see, what's his name? Oh, Dermost in Russia. He's not Santa Claus. He's Father Winter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's Sinterklaas in the Netherlands. And then there's Father Christmas, as he's called in Britain. And there is, I think there's someone in Ethiopia too. I can't remember his name. It's a different one. Just lots of different customs. What I like is also the way they arrive in different parts of the world. In Kenya, for instance, they arrive by Land Rover.
Well,
in Ethiopia, they arrive by camel.
Camel.
When I lived in Hawaii for a year, they arrived by outrigger canoe.
Obviously, that's the best way of transportation. What about Boxing Day?
Boxing Day is the day after Christmas. Now, you poor people in America, you know, you just don't know how to celebrate Christmas properly because you have to work quite often on Boxing Day.
Mm-hmm.
And but here it is a public holiday, and it has been since 1870. And it was the day then that the servants and the tradesmen got their Christmas presents. A lot of them had to work on Christmas Day. And so people would give them their presents. They'd put them in boxes and hand them to them on the day after Christmas. And they got that day off. And eventually everyone got both days off, as we became far more egalitarian in Britain.
Okay.
It spread throughout Europe. And so most of Europe now also celebrates or has a public holiday on the second day, but it's called the second day of Christmas in other countries.
We're sitting here trying to figure out when do the folks in other areas of the world actually work. Tom Arms with us this evening. Tom, does everybody take off for Christmas Eve as we wrap things up?
No, not always. We used to have, a lot of the hotels and things, we used to always have our tea at Brown's on Christmas Eve at 5, and that's when we stopped work.
Oh, all right. Tom, we've got to go to a break. We're wrapping things up. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio with us this evening. Just to remind you, go to the website, LookAheadNews.com, become a subscriber. And, as always, he says, tomorrow's news today. And if you read his program, his website, his blog, you can participate in advance. That's Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. You're listening to a special program here on Viewpoints, another hour just around the corner.